Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you're having a great day today. Hey, getting back to our Matthew verse-by-verse study, we finished Matthew 13. We're starting in Matthew 14. Let's get right at it. Go to don'tperish.com, look up verse-by-verse, or go to the teaching blog and look up the verse-by-verse, and you can catch up. And we're going to keep going. Matthew 14, starting in verse 1 right here. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. Okay, so Herod was a Jew, and he was someone that Rome, who was ruling over Israel, allowed to rule in that territory. So the Israelites had a Jew, one of their own, ruling over them. Tetrarch means governor or ruler. That was a common practice of Rome, to put in people of their own ethnicity so they could better rule people rather than Rome putting in someone who was Roman. Then you got a lot more problems, people not wanting to follow authority, things like that. And Herod had heard about Jesus' miracles and his teachings, and it was spreading all over Israel. And he hears about Jesus, and the next verse tells us what he thought about that. Verse 2. And he said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. All right, so Herod is making the comment about Jesus, believing, thinking, commenting, saying he's John the Baptist, who's come back to life. Well, we're going to read on and see what happened to John the Baptist. We see that Herod, the ruler, kind of feared, and he was worried and sorry about what happened to John. He didn't really want to kill John, but he did to keep his word. We're going to read about that. He ended up being sorry for it. And so, reference that in Mark 6:26. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes, which sat with him, he would not reject her. Talking about the promise he made. We'll read about that in a minute. Verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. All right, so let's talk about this. I've heard a lot of false pastors wrongly say, that John the Baptist was political and that he got involved in politics because he called out Herod the ruler. Well, that's an absolute lie. John the Baptist was a great man of God, the greatest man per Jesus, born of a woman. And he was not interested in politics at all. He was interested in the truth of God. We're going to see what he called Herod out for. He called him out for an unbiblical marriage, not politics at all. What did Brother Paul say about us getting involved, Christ's people getting involved in politics? 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we don't get involved in the affairs of the world. We focus on the gospel, Christ, and his kingdom. Also, many have made the mistake and say that John was calling out Herod because he got divorced and he was remarried. That's not what this call out by John the Baptist was about. John is calling out Herod for marrying his brother's wife while his brother was still alive. That's against Torah law. Leviticus 18:16, thou shalt not uncover thy nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. So before your brother is dead, you can't marry his wife. But in Deuteronomy 25, we read about it allowed for remarriage of a brother to his brother's wife if the brother had died and there was no children involved. You can go read about that at Deuteronomy 25. So there was no call out just because of a divorce and remarriage. Moses was allowing divorce and remarriage. The call out was because it was an incestual relationship between Herod and his brother's wife while Herod was still alive. Verse 5, And when he would have put him to death, He feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. All right, we talked about this a little bit. Herod knew the people that he ruled over, the Jews, believed John was a prophet that had come from God, and he feared killing him because of that. What's a prophet? Well, a prophet's an inspired speaker and a messenger of God, one who speaks the oracles of God. And I always like to make this note to men. We're not prophets today. No, I don't believe there's prophets today. But we do act and do the role of a prophet. Think about it. We represent God. We preach his word. We proclaim Christ and the gospel. And we go and call out those that claim Christ to repentance. And we also call the world out of repentance, or call the world to repentance. What an awesome weighty job we have. We act in the role of a prophet now, being evangelists, preachers, teachers. We don't have the power and we don't speak the inspired word of God, but we speak the written word of God, and we go and do God's bidding and his work for him. What an awesome job we get to do. Verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. All right, on this verse, two main points I want to make here. A birthday is in play here, and birthdays are not of God. These are always pagan and of man, and nothing comes from birthdays, and nothing good comes from birthdays in the Bible. There's two accounts of birthdays in the Bible that I know of. This is the one, Herod, and John the Baptist is killed. The other one is in Genesis 40, verse 19. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat the flesh thereof. Yeah, another guy dies on a birthday. Birthdays are not of God. They come from astrology. They come from pagan ways. We don't celebrate birthdays. We don't see the saints celebrating birthdays. It's not of God. Look in the Bible. Two times there's a birthday party. Men die. It's not a good thing. It's a false pagan way. Also, I want to note that Herod is being pleased by this dancing woman who is his own niece. Yeah, that's a wicked thing. This is also feminism. A woman, a niece, using her body and dancing to get her way with her own uncle. This is harlotry. This is feminism. This is sinful. This is wickedness. This is the type of people you're dealing with here. Verse 7, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Well, this niece must have really pleased him, her uncle, because she gave him an open door, he gave her an open door to ask for anything she wanted. A ruler of a territory with power doing this, this is quite an act. Think about it. And this is a good lesson for all of us. Be careful what you promise. You're going to be expected to keep it. Don't promise what you don't expect to keep. In the book of Matthew earlier we studied, Jesus said, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay, right? Verse 8, and she said, being before instructed of her mother, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Charger's a platter. Again, can I say that this is feminism? Her mother and her were plotting because Herodias, the woman, is mad at John because he called out her unbiblical marriage. And they plotted to titillate Herod with her dancing and then get what they wanted. John, the greatest man ever, his head on a platter. And remember this, John the Baptist, the greatest man ever per Jesus, I like to say that, went to jail and lost his life for calling out one sin of another claimed believer. Yeah, the next time you hear the street preacher or anyone calling out a sin, make sure it's being rightly judged, but then realize that was what men did. No sin should be allowed or stood for. It must be called out. John the Baptist was an example of that. Was he not? He was. Verse 9. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at the meat, he commanded it to be given to her. So, sat with that meat, that means they're eating. So, Herod's not happy about this situation, but he's making his own bed. He's got to lay in it. He made an oath, and people are watching. This is peer pressure. People are watching him. He made an oath. They're expecting the ruler to keep his word. Yep, peer pressure. He carries it out. He calls, has John the Baptist beheaded. Again, this should teach us all to be careful what we make promises about. In Matthew 5:37, as I said before, Jesus said, "Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay." That's something we need to be considering in our lives. Verse 10, "And he sent and beheaded John the Baptist in prison." Now, here is an important note to make. John was a major, major player in the Bible. Why? Making the way for Jesus, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, right? But he also was like a small blip on the pages of the Bible. Yeah, he hardly shows up at all, but yet he was the greatest man for Jesus, and he brought Christ, or I should say he heralded the way of Christ. He was a faithful, godly, holy, righteous servant, and God allowed him to be beheaded for his testimony. Ponder that, saints and seekers, if you're listening. Next time you think your situation in this world and your life is hard, think of John the Baptist, his plight. Some people say he was in jail over a year. That's what they say. I'm not sure if they can prove that, but he was in jail for a while, they say. And he was beheaded over him, his standing out against sin, and because some young niece danced for her uncle. God allowed it all. Consider that next time you think you're being persecuted or you got a rough life in Christ. Amen. Also, John is the one who said, "I must decrease so Christ can increase." John 3:30. So let us all learn from that. John was willing to decrease so that Christ could increase. And we see what happened to John, lived that out perfectly. He was a great example to all of us of a godly man doing his part, being lowly and humble in the end, being beheaded in prison, standing up for righteousness. Verse 11, "And his head was brought in on a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." So that charger's a platter. You know, imagine the wickedness of anyone that does this, let alone a young woman, a niece, and her mother are happy about a godly man's death to protect an unbiblical marriage, and his head is given to them on a platter. The Bible's very graphic. It shows the wickedness of that culture, the based heart of man, the cruel times that the early saints lived in. Think about that. It's nothing like the times that we live in here in America. Might get that way sometime soon, but it's not yet. Yet the gospel was preached, and it went out, and killing them did not stop it. These were bold people. These were truthful people. These were dedicated to the kingdom and the cause of preaching the gospel. They were not afraid to die for the cause of Christ. And it spread all over the world because of it. They didn't have democracy to spread the gospel like everybody in America and these other countries say we have to have. They lived and they died proclaiming the good news. This is a far cry from so-called churchianity saints and most Christians I know all around the world and in America that want an easy life, more rights, more freedom. Oh, we got to have more freedom so the gospel could go out. All the while, the gospel's been able to go out in America for almost 300 years in churchianity, and America's a corrupt, debased, Sodom and Gomorrah-like nation. Yeah, that's what it is. Ponder that, will you? Verse 12, "And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." All right, so here we see John's death is dealt with, a burial. That's it. This shows what we always say about all the funerals of our modern day culture. Funerals, wakes, all these things they do, all their events, all their traditions of men, all the money they spend, versus just a burial. The greatest man that ever lived got just a burial. And they went and told Jesus. This shows you that the culture today makes a big show and a big deal out of death when people die. But we see with John the Baptist was not so. He was just buried, done, it was put away with. test all these pagan ways at these funerals that go on in America, and I know all over the world, with wakes, with meals, and with all of these things they do, long, drawn-out services. Nope, you're out of your body, you're just flesh. Bury the body, move on. In most cases, it's let the dead bury the dead. Consider that. That's what Jesus said to the man who wanted to go bury his father. Hey, it's going to go in a little different direction in the next verses, so let's stop right there. We'll pick up next time on verse 13, working through Matthew 14. You can go and check out don'tperish.com, catch up on all the previous verse by verses, then check out all the audios, videos, articles, street preaching, sisters' blogs, all there to edify the saints, help seekers, and glorify our Father in heaven. Hey, till next time, Mr. and Brother James, thanks for listening. We love you all. Got to get down the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, may God be praised.